Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I came across a rather interesting new thing in the news, and this is going to affect a lot of college students possibly in the future, but it's affecting some right now. But it's just such an interesting twist on things. But, you know, if you go to college nowadays, you'll discover that the cost of a higher education in America is rather high, and it's gotten increasingly so over the years. Now, I went to law school a while back, and it cost me a lot of money, and I borrowed a lot of money. So student loans are something I understand very, very well. But here's an interesting twist, and this is the headline from Bloomberg News. College grads sell stakes in themselves to Wall Street. And, you know, anytime there's an opportunity to make money, leave it to the guys on Wall Street to sit down and figure out a way to monetize something. So to pay for college, Amy Robluski sold a piece of her future. Every month for 8.5 years, she must turn over a set percentage of her salary to investors. Today, about a year after graduation, Robluski makes $50,000 a year as a higher education recruiter in Winchester, Virginia. So the cut comes to $279 a month, which is less than her car payment. Now, if the 23-year-old becomes a star in her field, she could pay twice as much. And if she loses her job, she won't have to pay anything. Investors will be out of luck until she finds work. This is a story written by Claire Boston, and it's one of these things I'd never heard of this before. But apparently, instead of just going to the student financial aid office and borrowing money from some government program, there are investors out there who will put the money up for your education in exchange for a slice of your future earnings. And it's in its infancy right now. So there are some schools that don't allow this. There are some schools that encourage this. It's all over the board. She struck the unusual deal as an undergraduate at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. Hello, Tom Spademan, my good buddy, went there. To fund part of the cost of her degree in strategy and organizational management, she sidestepped the common source of money, which is a student loan. Instead, she agreed to hand over part of her future earnings through a new kind of financial instrument called an income sharing agreement, or an ISA. In a sense, financiers are transforming student debtors into investments with much of the same risk and ideally return. In Wall Street terms, Robluski, a first-generation college student, is more of a small company stock than, say, Microsoft. Her mother works as a waitress. Her father is a quality control inspector in a car dealership's body shop. And so she's got a strong work ethic. And so showing potential for leadership, not to mention earnings, she rose to vice president of Delta Sigma Pi, a business fraternity. Those qualities impressed a company called Vimo Education, which vets students at Purdue and a handful of other schools on behalf of potential investors. So they're not going to do this for everybody. And that was the question that popped into my head the first sentence in was, so if I'm the one who's taken the classes in underwater basket weaving, am I actually going to get somebody who will put the money up? Because we know I can't make any money doing that. And so it depends on what field you're going into, and they will check your background to see what kind of a good investment you might be. Americans currently owe $1.5 trillion in higher education debt. That's a burden that weighs down their dreams and the U.S. economy. The Federal Reserve says millennials are now less likely to buy homes than young people were in 2005. And even senior citizens find themselves still making payments on their student loans. Yeah, and they will follow you to the grave. Wall Street sees the crisis as an opportunity. College graduates on average earn $1 million more over their lifetimes than non-college graduates. Investors could capture some of that wage premium for themselves. Here's a quote. I envision a whole new equity market for higher education in the next 5 years, where today there's only debt, says Chuck Trafton, who runs hedge fund Flowpoint Capital Partners LP, which has invested in ISAs, including Purdue's. ISA experts say they have fielded calls from some of the world's largest investment managers that are considering investing in the contracts. And the executive vice chairman of money manager Blackstone Group LP formed the Education Finance Institute to help schools study and develop ISAs for their student bodies. For now, the market for income sharing agreements can be measured in the tens of millions. a tiny sum compared to the $170 billion in outstanding asset-backed securities created from student loans. Only some schools let outside investment firms buy a stake in their students. Others seek out individual donors, which can often be just wealthy alumni, or they use money from their own endowments to finance the students. Along with Purdue, which started their program in 2016, some smaller private schools such as Lackawanna College in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and Norwich University in Vermont are offering ISAs, and the University of Utah, good old U of U, recently announced a pilot plan. ISAs raise all kinds of questions, of course. How many students will lose their jobs and be unable to pay? How much should Wall Street demand as compensation for the risk? Investors typically ask for a smaller slice from students with more lucrative majors. At Purdue, for example, English majors borrowing $10,000 pay 4.5% of their future income over nearly 10 years. Chemical engineers, 2.5% over 7 years. And so, yes, your financial future will become a math problem. Because as you can imagine, they're not putting the money up unless they think they're getting it back plus some. And, you know, with a student loan, especially a low interest one, you can just look at it and go, huh, well, it turns out I can pay it off for a long period of time with fairly small payments, and I can just budget for that. And the interesting thing here is, there's a couple things. One is that over the shorter period of time paying it off, if that works out, you know, obviously it's better to pay it off in 7.5 years than it is in 20, if you can do either. But the cool thing here is if you lose your job, you pay zero. And of course, if you lose your job in the real world and you've got student loans, you may have to ask for deferments or go into default, heaven forbid. So those are differences there as well. I suspect you're going to be seeing some flux in this field, meaning that some companies are going to come forward with different kinds of products. The universities will have to spend some time vetting which organizations have got the best deals. And the marketplace will do what the marketplace does. And that is eventually, hopefully, there'll be several different products to choose from if you are the student looking for money. And, you know, if you're an investor with money looking to push it into this field, hopefully there'll be different places you can put your money and try to find the ones that get the best return. And likewise, if you are the student, trying to find the one that'll cost you the least amount of money over time. So it's a fascinating concept. You know, I'd never heard of this before as being an actual thing, but it makes complete sense. And again, it's just going to boil down to how it all shakes out because, you know, we can do the math on what a standard modern student loan looks like. I remember when I was in law school, it was actually in the last semester of law school. And I remember sitting next to my good buddy, Dave, and Dave and I are sitting there and we were in a room where every student who'd taken out student loans had to go sit in this room and watch this presentation by the financial aid officer. And the financial aid officer put up on the screen a chart, and it showed how much money you've borrowed, and it drew a line as to how long it's going to take you to pay it off. And Dave and I are both looking at it, and I don't know if he said it to me or if I said it to him, but one of us said, wait a second. If I'm connecting the dots just right, I'm pretty certain that the amount of money I borrowed can't be paid off in a single lifetime, at least not reasonably. And I believe he said that to me, and I turned to him and said, why are we getting this in the last semester of law school, not the first? And I think that's actually the lesson to be learned here. So if you're a student looking for funding sources, do your homework and check them all out. There's obviously nothing wrong with having another option, you know? So I'm sure there's going to be people out there, and oftentimes in the field of consumer protection, which is where I practice, there's people out there who are paranoid. And anytime something new comes along, they want to start beating the drum and complaining about it and warning about it and saying it's a threat. And we have to educate people to not do this. It's a ripoff. And as long as the schools continue to offer the traditional student loans, I don't see what's wrong with this as an option. As long as there's disclosures at the front end going, here's what you're borrowing. Here's how the terms are that you're going to pay it back under. And quite frankly, the idea that if you become unemployed, you make no payments is actually interesting. Because the, like I said, only real remedy for that in a student loan situation is you ask for a forbearance where they put the loan on hold, but the interest keeps accruing. You just don't have to pay, make payments until you get your act together. But of course, you can default on the student loan, but you cannot discharge it in bankruptcy. So obviously it's going to follow you till the day you die or you pay it off, whichever comes first. So it's interesting. It's another option that's going to be out there, and it'll be fun to watch and see how this develops. It won't affect me in the sense that I don't plan on going back to school. And if I did, I wouldn't borrow money to do it, but I'm sure it's going to affect a whole new generation of people who are going to be looking for ways to fund their education. So I'll put up a link to the complete article in the description below. Otherwise, questions or comments, put them below. Talk to you later.